Amen. Well, I want to continue on our series called The Change Challenge. We're beginning our fourth week, and we have 208 people that have signed up to be part of our Change Challenge Club on Wednesday evenings. And if you are part of the Change Challenge on Wednesdays, I want to let you know this coming Wednesday evening is going to be a very special night. Pastor Nick is going to be leading us this Wednesday in a time of breaking prayer. And we're going to believe the Lord to break off any spiritual strongholds in our lives that might be holding us back from experiencing the change that God desires for us. So if you're a Change Challenge Club participant, we'd love for you to be here this Wednesday. I want to remind you, bring your action plans with you in writing this Wednesday, and you'll be sharing those in your small group time. A few weeks ago, we started looking at some verses in James chapter 1, and we discovered there that God's desire for us is change. James 1:18 tells me that God's first desire is to make me a changed person. James says that God's desire is to make me born again. God wants to give me a radical transformation in my spirit, in my soul, in my body. Paul talked about it this way. He said about being born again, he said, old things are passed away and everything is become new again. All my failures, all my mistakes, all my hang-ups are gone, are erased, and I have a chance to start fresh and to start new again. And then in James 1:21, it says that God's desire for me is to have a righteous life. That means everything is all right with me. A righteous life means I'm living right. It means I'm doing the right things. I'm making the right choices. I have the right attitude, the right motives, the right methods. I have all the right moves. And when you're doing everything all right, how many of you know, then everything goes all right with you? So God's desire is to make me, first of all, to make me a changed person. And then secondly, God's desire is to make me a change agent. James 1:18 says that God wants me to become a first fruit. And what a first fruit means is that I become the first of many. The first of many of the same type and the same quality. So God's desire is that I become the first of many in my family to experience his life-changing power. It means I become the first of my coming generations to live in the freedom and in the blessing of the Lord, not in bondage to addiction, not in bondage to poverty and to failure, but I become the first of many in my family line to experience all of his goodness. A first fruit means that I become the first of many in my circle of friends to know God, the first of many in my office to experience his life-changing power, the first of many in my neighborhood. When you take a look around at the people that come to harvest time in our first and our second and our third Sunday morning worship services and even our Spanish service in the afternoon on Sundays, when you add all of those people together, how many of you know it's just the first fruits of those that God wants to save in Westchester and Fairfield counties? It's just the tip of the iceberg. It's just the first of many of the same kind and quality that God has ordained to save in this region. Now, along the way, we've been talking about some obstacles to change. We've been talking about how we overcome some of those obstacles to change. We talked a couple weeks ago about the challenge of going my own way. We looked at Solomon. Solomon was the smartest man in the world, and yet Solomon was foolish enough to think that he could disobey God and not pay the consequences. And so we talked about how we could outsmart the smartest man in the world. James says, don't kid yourself. When desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is finished, gives birth to death. Don't kid yourself. And so we talked about how we could outsmart the smartest man in the world. Last week, we talked about the challenge of willpower. And if you're having trouble making change stick in your life, I would suggest to you that the problem is not a lack of willpower, but the problem is what has power over your will. And so we talked about how we change from our will being overpowered from the desires of our flesh to being overpowered by the desires of the Spirit. Now this morning, I want to talk with you for a few minutes about what my biggest challenge is when it comes to change. And what my biggest challenge is when it comes to change is the challenge of tomorrow. I've shared with you that my change challenge goal is in the area of health and fitness. And finally, I started making changes because I was scared into it. And now that I've started making changes in my health, I wonder why it is I didn't do this a long time ago. And I think the simple answer is it's because of tomorrow. You see, I've known for years that I've needed to give attention to my health, but for all those years, I would literally say to myself every day, I'll start tomorrow. And it wasn't even, I'll start Monday. It wasn't even, I'll start after the holidays. It wasn't even, I'll start after vacation. Literally, every day I would say, I will start tomorrow. And here's the crazy thing. I actually believed that I would. And before I knew it, 10 years rolled by and tomorrow still hadn't come. And when I think of that, I think of these verses. Look with me in James chapter 4, if you will. And I think about these verses in James chapter 4 that talk a little bit about tomorrow. Look with me there. James chapter 4, and let's begin reading in verse 13. James chapter 4 and verse 13. James says, "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why don't you even know? Why you don't even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, to him it is sin." Now I want to share with you for a couple of minutes this morning what these verses say to me. Now, obviously in these verses, James is really rebuking people for presumptuously making plans for tomorrow without factoring God into the equation. Tomorrow I will go here and I will do this and I will be a success. But when I look at these verses, I hear a message in them about procrastination. When I look at these verses, I like to begin with the verse actually that's at the end. I like to begin with verse 17. If you happen to be reading out of the King James Version of the Bible this morning, it's a little bit more accurate. In verse 17, it begins with the word therefore. And remember, whenever you see a therefore in Scripture, you have to look and see what it's there for. Thank you. Therefore, he says. Therefore, if anyone knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. You see, this is the summary thought of this little section of verses, and it's the key to understanding their message. You remember with me the key to the whole book of James. We've talked about it. Remember James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. And so when I think of the whole context of the book of James, and then I look at these verses in James 4, and especially I look at that therefore that sums up the whole thing in verse 17, what I see is a problem with procrastination. What I see is a problem with putting off doing the good we know we ought to do. James 4:13 opens with these words. He says, "Come on now, you who keep on saying, tomorrow I will go here, I will do this, I will be a success." The word say in James 4:13 is in a continuous tense. And so what that means is you keep on saying it and saying it, but it never happens. You keep on saying, tomorrow I'll do this. Tomorrow I'll do that. Tomorrow I'll start. Tomorrow I'll succeed. You keep on saying it and saying it, but it never happens. And how many of us really live years of our lives kidding ourselves in the same way? James says, don't merely listen to the word and so kid yourself, so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Therefore, to anyone who knows the good he ought to do, but does not do it, to him it is sin. And so, beloved, I have a question for you today. What is the good that you ought to do today that you've been putting off until tomorrow in your life? Tomorrow, I'll start taking care of my health. Tomorrow, I'll stop spending so much time at work. Tomorrow, I'll start spending quality time with my spouse. Tomorrow, I'll start spending quality time with my kids. Tomorrow, I'll start getting my finances in order. Tomorrow, I'll quit that habit that's not healthy for me. Tomorrow, I'll cut off that relationship that's no good for me. Tomorrow, I'll walk away from that partnership that's not on the up and up. Tomorrow, I'll trust control of my life into the Lord's hands. Tomorrow, I'll begin investing in my relationship with Him. Tomorrow, I'll begin reading my Bible and praying every day. Tomorrow, I'll begin getting involved in the church. Tomorrow, I'll call the doctor. Tomorrow, I'll call the pastor. Tomorrow, I'll call a counselor. Tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. And as I look at these verses, I see some reasons why procrastination like that is so presumptuous. These verses are really an indictment against presumption and the procrastination of putting off the good that I ought to do today, putting it off till tomorrow. It's presumptuous on a number of levels. First of all, procrastination presumes upon tomorrow. It presumes upon tomorrow. Putting off the good I ought to do today presumes on tomorrow. It presumes that I will still be here tomorrow. It presumes that I'll still have my health tomorrow. It presumes that my circumstances will be the same tomorrow. James says, don't keep on saying, tomorrow I'll go do this and I'll succeed. I know I will. He says, you don't know what your life is. You don't know what tomorrow might bring. Beloved, you and I have absolutely no guarantee of tomorrow. Young or old, sick or healthy, saints or sinners, we have no guarantee. Here's a nice light thought. It's casual Sunday. It's July 4th weekend. We have our great picnic this afternoon. So let me just give you a nice light thought this morning. If today were your last day on earth, what things would you wish you had taken care of? What things would you wish you had done differently? What relationships would you wish that you had reconciled? What relationships would you wish that you had invested in? What would you have done differently? If you knew that today was your last day, what would you do differently? And whatever your answer is to that question, do it. Do it today and don't delay anymore. Somebody once said this, yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. But today is a gift. And that's why we call it the present. Procrastination presumes upon tomorrow. Procrastination presumes upon others. See, putting off the good that I ought to do, it presumes upon the other people in my life. it presumes upon the people that have been waiting, the people that have been hoping, the people that have been praying, the people that have been begging for me to change. It presumes that they're still going to be there when I finally get around to changing. Do you know what the biggest lie in the world is when it comes to sin? The biggest lie in the world is that when I sin, I am only hurting myself. Beloved, let me tell you something. When you sin and when I sin, we hurt everybody. We hurt everybody in our life. We hurt the people that are closest to us. We hurt the people that God had intended for us to impact with our lives. When we sin, we hurt everyone. And when we put off making those changes, we continue adding layer and layer of hurt upon those people in our lives that are waiting, hoping, that are begging, praying that you and I will change. And putting off the good that I ought to do today, putting it off till tomorrow, it presumes upon those people. It presumes that they're going to be able to hold out. It presumes that they're going to be able to wait and last until I finally get around to changing. Andy Stanley has a great illustration of this. He said it's like asking someone to hold a big, heavy rock in their hand at the end of their outstretched arm. And saying to them, now, you just hold that for a minute, and I'll be right back. Just hold on to that. Just hold steady there, and I'll be back in just a minute. I just have to do something first, and then I'll get back to you. I just have to finish this project at work, and then I'll get back to you. I just have to complete this task that I have, and then I'll get back to you. And the person is holding and holding and holding and holding, and finally they can hold no more, and the ball drops. And beloved, for some of us, when the ball drops, when it's our marriage or when it's our kids or the people that are important to us in life, when the ball drops, it drops to the ground and it smashes irreparably. Putting off the good I ought to do today till tomorrow, it presumes upon the people in my life. Procrastination presumes upon myself. Putting off the good I ought to do, it presumes upon myself. It presumes that I have control that I do not really have. And it presumes that I have ability that I do not really have. I'll start tomorrow. I'll quit tomorrow. I'll change tomorrow. I'll get it together tomorrow. I'll walk away from it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. As if we really could. You know, in this whole section of the book of James, James is comparing the wisdom of the world to the wisdom of the Word. And the wisdom of the world says, I'll do it myself. I'll do it my own way. I'll do it in my own time. I'll do it on my own terms. That's what Solomon, the smartest man in the world, tried to do, right? He tried to do a Frank Sinatra and do it his way. And we see how that worked out for him. The wisdom of the world says, I'll do it myself in my own strength. The wisdom of the Word simply says, help, Father, I need you. If anyone needs wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all generously. In verse 16 of these little verses in James 4, James says, look how silly you are, boasting and bragging about what you're going to do when in reality you haven't done anything at all. And what is boasting and bragging after all? Boasting and bragging is just puffed up exaggerations of my abilities and my accomplishments. James says your boasting is evil. Procrastination, it presumes upon myself. And this kind of boasting is evil because of the fourth presumption of procrastination. And that is procrastination presumes against God. Procrastination presumes against God. You see, putting off the good that I ought to do today, it presumes against God's, against God. First of all, it presumes that God doesn't have any right to direct my footsteps today. Do you know, we call him Savior and Lord. Lord means he's the leader of my life. Lord means that he has the right to tell me what to do, to order my steps, to direct my steps today. Jesus said, don't call me Lord if you don't intend on doing the things that I say. So procrastination presumes that God doesn't have any right to direct my footsteps today. He doesn't have any right to tell me how I ought to live and what I ought to do. Procrastination presumes against God because it presumes that God's ways are not best after all. That following his voice, that living according to his directions, his rules, his guidelines, that they don't bring the best results after all, that my own way brings me more happiness, that my own way brings more results, better results to my life. Procrastination presumes against God because it presumes that God doesn't have something better planned for me. When I look at James 4:14, I see a description in that verse of the outcome of a life lived in procrastination and presumption. He says, what are you really? You who say, come on now, you who just keep on saying, tomorrow I'll do this, tomorrow I'll succeed, I know I will, I'll do it tomorrow. He says, what are you really? He says, your life is just a mist. It appears for a little while, and then it vanishes. You see, when you live in that kind of procrastination, your life, it appears to have substance, but when the heat is turned up, you just vanish into thin air. You're like that fig tree that Jesus passed by, all full of green leaves, but there's no fruit on it. You're just a fog. You're in the way for a little while. You obstruct the vision of others. You cause massive delays at JFK and LaGuardia and White Plains. And then poof, when you're gone, no one misses you. How many of you know that God has called us to more than that? God has called my life and your life to have more of an impact, to have more significance than to just be a mist that poof vanishes when the heat is turned on. So what do I do? How do I go after tomorrow? How do I go after this cycle of procrastination and presumption? I like what it says here in verse 15 of James 4. The NIV says, instead of this, instead of this procrastination, instead of this presuming upon others, presuming upon tomorrow, presuming against God, instead of this cycle of procrastination, presumption, instead of this, James 4:15 says, do this. And I like this. The word in Greek, actually, that the NIV translates instead of is the Greek word against. So he says, to fight against this cycle of procrastination, here's what to do. Here's what I do if I want to go after the tomorrow in my life. First of all, I need to pursue God's will. I need to pursue God's will. Now, when I was growing up in the church, you could tell someone's level of spiritual maturity if they always remembered to add the words, God willing, or if the Lord wills, to everything they said. And so you knew somebody was really spiritual if whenever they greeted you, they said, I'll see you next Sunday, God willing. Or I'll see you Wednesday night, if the Lord wills. If they said that, then you knew that they had read James 4:15 too, and that must mean they're really spiritual. But you know, I'm not really sure that that captures what James means here. I don't think that what James intends is just tacking God on to the end of my plans. Tomorrow, I'm going to do this if it's okay with God. It's not making my plans and then keeping my fingers crossed that God's going to cooperate. Tomorrow, I'm going to do this as long as God doesn't interfere. I believe that what James means, in James 4:15, he says, instead of this, against this, to combat this cycle of continuously saying, tomorrow, 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 tomorrow I'll do this, tomorrow I'll do that, tomorrow I'll change, tomorrow it'll be great, I'll be a great success. To combat that, I believe that what James means here in James 4:15 is that my starting place for change is to pursue God's will for me. How do I fight against this cycle of procrastination and presumption? It's not by tacking God onto the end of my plans. It's by grabbing hold of his good plans for me. Paul said it this way. He says, find out what pleases the Lord. You see, God has a great plan and a great desire for my life. His desire for my life, James 1:26 says, is to be blessed in everything I do. His desire is for me to be blessed in my health. His desire for me is to be blessed in my relationships. His desire for me is to be blessed in my family. His desire for me is to be blessed in my work. His desire for me is to be blessed in my finances. His desire for me is to be blessed with a long life. It's to be blessed with a great legacy that follows behind me. And the way to break out of this cycle of procrastination and presumption is to begin to pursue after God's good plans for me today. God has more for you and me than to be a mist that just appears for a little while and then poof is gone. Pursue God's goodwill. Secondly, confess God's good purposes. Confess God's good purposes. Now, I want you to notice something with me. James 4:13, it opens with the words, come on now, you who keep saying tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. I shared with you that's in a continuous sense. You keep saying it and saying it. But now in James 4:15, James says, instead of doing that, instead of continuously saying tomorrow, 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 instead say this. And the say in James 4:15 is in a different Greek tense. Instead of a continuous repetition, it means to make a declaration. It means to make a confession. And here is the confession. In God's will, I will live. In God's will, I will live long and I will prosper. In God's will live and I will do what he has ordained for me to do and I will succeed in it. And so the confession is this. Make a confession. I will live long and I will prosper in everything I do because everything I do is God's will for me. Make a confession. I'm going to be the head and not the tail. I'm going to be the first and not the last. I'm going to lend and not borrow. I am going to be more than a conqueror. I'm not going to be under my circumstances. My circumstances are going to be under me. Make a confession. I'm not going to live the rest of my life saying tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow I'll do this. Tomorrow I'll get started. Tomorrow I'll fix it. Tomorrow. No. Make a confession. I will live long and prosper in the will of God for me. And the third thing I see here, simply confess, I will. What James 4:15 is saying to us is, he's saying, instead of saying, tomorrow I will, tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow I'll do this, tomorrow I'll do that. He says, instead of saying that, confess this, whatever the Lord wills, I will. Whatever the Lord wills, I will. I will do today the good that I ought to do. And I won't put it off for tomorrow any longer. I want to ask one simple question for you this morning in closing. What is the good that you ought to do today that you've been putting off till tomorrow? What is it? What is the good you ought to do today that you've been putting off till tomorrow? Why put it off anymore? Let's go after tomorrow. Come on and stand together with me if you would. Pastor Dan, come and help us. And we're going to share a time of prayer just before we go today.